Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after. Joining me, thanks for hanging around today. My website is www.jbsba.com, and if you have a question or a comment, ask Jim at jbsba.com. Jeffrey Zabar is our good friend and one of our top home office experts. He's the author of Teleworking and Telecommuting, and I think that's the—is that the title, Jeff? Did I say it right?
That's Teleworking and Telecommuting Strategies for Remote Workers and Their Managers.
There you go. Welcome back, Jeff.
It's always great to be here. God, it seems like I saw you only day before last.
I know. We had a great time, didn't we?
That was a lot of fun.
That was a fun dinner. You and me and Hildegard and Joanna Brandy. That was fun. Yeah,
it was a blast.
We you know, folks, as you know, I'm on the road, and so I carry some of my books with me that I'm going to be talking about on the show. But the books of my regular folks, I typically don't, and so that's the reason why. You know, I usually try to let you guys say the title of your books, because even though I remember them pretty well, I may not get the exact names right. And so that's one of the books that Jeff has written. He's written a number of them. But Jeffrey, there's some news out recently. The SBA has released a study that I actually talked a little bit with the guy who released the study, Tom Sullivan, a week or so ago, about this study of how home-based businesses are affected by some of the regulations that are out there and on a federal, state, and a local, and maybe even a neighborhood level, right?
Yeah. It's interesting because Mr. Sullivan's report from the SBA, the Small Business Administration, really bore down into what affects small business and home business. So it wasn't just looking at how Congress needs to deal with this. It bore down into the local level and how local restrictions, even zoning regulations, can have a big impact on small business. Some of the issues people face at the federal level, you know, IRS regulations penalize home business and their treatment of deductions and things like that. But then they got down again into local regulations, looked at states like Arizona, California, Vermont, found restrictive regulations are at the zoning level, which in my case, for example, in here in Coral Springs, Florida, the zoning would restrict me from manufacturing, which is not unreasonable because you don't want anything that's disruptive to the local community.
We don't want you to put up a chicken farm in the back.
They don't want me to compete with Mr. Purdue, no. So we don't put no chicken farms up here.
No nuclear plants.
No nuclear plants, no manufacturing, not even in many small towns or, you know, in many towns and cities, the way they deal with small business and home business is no storage of or manufacturing of otherwise unassembled goods. So I can't be running the sweatshop in the garage.
They made you close up your sweatshop, didn't they?
Exactly. So Nike had to go somewhere else to look. They had to, you know. But anyway, the thing is that people have to realize the what the zoning is, and many people, what I think that the report points to, but didn't necessarily bring out so strongly, is the fact that this creates a shadow economy. This creates people who work from home, doing things that may not be on the up and up, or totally they are within zoning guidelines, but they don't go out and get their licenses, occupational permits and licenses, for fear of being discovered and being somehow being told no or being watched more closely.
They would rather ask for forgiveness than permission.
You know what? It's exactly true.
And you know what? I don't blame them in some cases.
It's true. Now, in Coral Springs, again, where I live, you know, if you're a computer jockey, so to speak, like I am, I'm just a wordsmith. I'm just a good old country writer. So, you know, there's nothing. I don't have – it does not allow me to have non-resident employees. So my wife could work for me. If my mother lived next door, she could not work for me or something, you know, something like that. And I cannot have customer visits, which I never have anyway. That's why I go to the local library or coffee shop or restaurant for meetings. But you're always looking over your shoulder. I mean, I don't have a problem with it because I pay my license fees and things like that. Have very low impact, and I go about my day.
But you're up on the radar screen. And you can be counted. You can be part of a statistic that shows the the critical mass of home-based businesses so that we can do so that we can actually lobby the local government organization so we can roll all that up to the federal level and show the federal government how, you know, that we've got lots of Jeffs out there that need to be represented.
Right.
And that's the problem with people staying below the radar, even though I've just said that in some cases I don't blame them for being below the radar, because, Jeffrey, as you know, some people start a home-based business out of pure survival. I did it once. You may have done yours that way. I really did it out of survival, and even though I didn't live in a neighborhood, I mean, I would have done it. I would have asked for forgiveness instead of permission. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Jeffrey Zabar. We've got more to come. We're going to get a little bit more into this research that we've done on, or that has been done, I should say, on home-based businesses, and I can't think of anybody who can help us do this better than Jeffrey Zabar. 20 till. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Mr. Jeffrey Zabar. He's the Chief Home Officer. And Jeffrey, why don't you give us your website, please?
www.chiefhomeofficer.com.
All right. And, folks, you can find a lot of information there on Jeffrey's site. He's got a lot of articles, a lot of pieces there that you can read. And also, you can find out more about his books. He's written a number of books, including Safe at Home, which is still one of my favorite home-based business books. And, Jeffrey, also, they can find you at the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel, right?
Yeah, right. The marketing column and a small business technology column for them as well. So,
yeah,
do a lot of writing that hopefully helps people understand what not just working from home, but running a small business is all about. So whether it's technology, marketing, strategies, things like that, we try and help people out.
And they can go to sunsentinel.com.
Sun-sentinel.com.
Okay.
And you can see
some archives of articles there?
There's some archives from the current week. Everything else has pretty much been archived
right
to a pay area, so if you try and catch the current week.
I got you. We're talking about this survey that was done, the research that's been done recently on home-based businesses, and the two biggies that Tom mentioned, Jeff, were the IRS provisions, which is the federal level, and the zoning. And then the zoning level, zoning issues. And, you know, Jeff, when I became home-based, you know, I actually was a teleworker back in the 70s.
Really?
Believe it or not.
Really?
And then I went back into regular, you know, type of employment, so to speak. And then I started my small business back in 89, as I've said before, as a home-based business. And I was home-based for two and a half years or so. But I didn't have to think about the zoning, because I kind of lived out in the county a little bit, and I wasn't in a neighborhood, and I wasn't in a municipality, and so I didn't have to worry about any of that. But I'll tell you, in those days, I was glad that I didn't have to deal with some kind of an approval by somebody, because I needed to start that business to feed my family.
Right. Many people will do exactly that. They'll start their business and worry about the permits and applications and processing later. I mean, in as much as we start our businesses and then worry about the formal structure once we're already running. I mean, few people, I know when I started my business, you know, the incorporation and even the DBA when I originally started, but the incorporation and the federal ID number and the licenses and permits and things like that all came later, as opposed to being the first thing I did. They're kind of afterthoughts, and right or wrong, well, I mean, obviously we're worried about generating business more than generating permits and fees.
But, Jeffrey, the thing is, Jeff, is that nobody, it's not like they're doing something that wrong, because it's not intuitive to think that you need to have to ask permission for that. Even 15 years ago, it wasn't intuitive that I need to ask permission to do that. And so it's not like you're doing anything wrong, but it is something that you and I are talking about right now, so it is something people need to be aware of. That you may be running a little bit afoul of a local statute or a neighborhood covenant,
right?
And all I was going to say is that is that you need to be aware of your exposure and, you know, maybe just keep your mouth shut for a while.
Well,
I don't want to tell anybody to break a law or anything like that. It's just to use your head and then find out what the story is. So you know.
Well, it's especially if you run a business that may be legal but may have an impact. So if you have FedEx trucks or UPS or whomever coming up to your residence, your home, your apartment, your condo, even though it may be allowed, if you have constant traffic like that and people start to get upset, they may start to wonder. Now, if it's allowed, but people come, you know, people don't like it and they call zoning, you know, code enforcement knocks on your door and asks what's going on, and either you slip or somehow they're able to see that you're, not that they would know, but that you're running a business, they can either shut you down or give you, you know, 30, 60, 90 days, whatever the case may be, to get your licenses, get your papers in order,
Let's throw something else out here, Jeffrey. Let's talk about your business. Now, you're a wordsmith and a computer jockey, as you say. I mean, there's absolutely no impact on your community or your city, negative impact of you. In fact, there's a very positive impact
on
what you're doing.
Say.
But the thing is, you don't have any employees. You don't need the employees. And I'm sure you do get deliveries from time to time. But there's even, let's say that there wasn't, that they didn't want you to get to take deliveries. That was a big no-no. No regular deliveries there, which you probably don't get one every day anyway.
Right.
A FedEx
right.
or UPS. You probably get, you know, like a lot of home bases business, you get maybe one or two a week or something, which a lot of households get those kind of delays.
Right. Exactly.
But the thing is, if you had to, you could have your address at an executive suite, you know, a mile or two away or downtown. They could also be where you get your courier information.
Right. Exactly.
Anything from FedEx or UPS or whatever. So there are ways of handling this so that you appear so innocuous that nobody would complain about what you're doing.
That nobody would complain, nobody would know. And also, I mean, I live in a suburban, you know, ungated neighborhood, so there really is no impact, and all the delivery companies are in my neighborhood anyway. But if you lived in a townhome, if you lived in a condo where it might be more difficult, where the traffic might be a little bit more burdensome as far as, you know, they're not big trucks, but trucks
right.
nonetheless coming and making the deliveries. You can go to your local, well, it's not mailbox, et cetera, but UPS store, rent a box, they'll take your deliveries, and you'll get even a professional address out of it.
Right. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with more to come with our good friend Jeffrey Zabar, the author of Teleworking and Telecommuting, right after these messages. Intel, stay with us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and glad you're here. I'm glad Jeffrey Zabar is here, too, because he always makes it fun and entertaining and interesting, the things we talk about with regard to home-based business, also teleworking. And, you know, Jeffrey, let's talk about that for a second. What about teleworking and the zoning stuff? What have we run into on that kind of thing?
Well, it's a quizzical thing because teleworking as a non-income producing, so to speak.
Jeff, let me do us a favor.
Define it.
Tell us the difference between teleworking and telecommuting.
And telecommuting are synonymous, but telework or telecommuting is working at home or working from a remote location for an employer or somebody else. You are an employee.
As
you are not a 1099, you're a
W-2. He's a business owner.
Right, as opposed to being a business owner. So, whereas a home-based business owner, you are earning money and you are, you know, you're running a business in as much as, you know, the local storefront in the strip center down the street has to have a license. That's why I agree with the need for licenses for people who run a business from home, and the impact is not great. But when it's a teleworker, quite often, if it's once a week, twice a week, maybe a couple times a month, their impact can be so low. Most cities don't even realize they exist, much less try and regulate them or make them take a license or a permit. It's easy to inquire, call your code enforcement office, call the city clerk's office. You know, many people are not going to make those phone calls and say, you know, hey, do I need to get a permit? Well, yeah, why don't you? You know, because that's, as we said, it's easier to beg forgiveness than ask permission sometimes. But most cities don't care because a teleworker typically has absolutely zero impact.
But as you know, Jeff, some teleworkers are 100% teleworker.
Right.
Some employees are 100% teleworker. And so they would have the same impact on a neighborhood as you do.
Exactly. And even less so, because in all likelihood, while they may be receiving FedExes and packages and the like, often they have, if they're teleworking for a company locally and just don't want to commute in, they might have packages sent to that office. But if there are many people telework for companies hundreds or thousands of miles away or halfway around the globe, and they're the type of people who might have a greater impact, might have more deliveries and the like. But often, again, cities, if it's not income generating, often cities don't care about the nature of the work along those lines. They'll say, you know, you don't need a license. But again, you go back to code enforcement, you ask what code enforcement has to say, if you're so inclined. I mean, one of the issues is if you're running a business from home, you take an injury, you go to take workman's comp, and if somebody were to do their due diligence and say, well, you didn't have a permit to be running this business if you're an entrepreneur, or to have this office if you're a teleworker, you know, what's to say you are actually doing business?
Let's talk about some things, though, that are just good sense that we ought to be doing. Number one, we should be good neighbors. We shouldn't be flaunting the business in front of everybody. For example, I talked to a couple one time who had a construction company, and they were running it out of their townhome, and they had the name of their business on a magnetic sign on the side of their truck, pulled up in front of their townhome. You know, it was there all the time, and people were coming and going. It wasn't like they were doing construction they weren't hauling two before in and out of the building, but it did have a negative impact on the ambiance of the community and the overall environment of the community.
Right.
And so they weren't, in my opinion, they weren't being smart about the way they were running their business, because they were sort of sticking it in the, you know, they were out there in everybody's face with it. So I think we have an obligation to realize that our neighbors want to protect their property, and also we have an obligation that if there is an opportunity to buy a license, as you have done, Jeffrey, we need to do it and not complain about it.
Right. Many people have that's what
legitimizes you.
Yeah, many people have those complaints, and I'm a believer that, well, if you are running a business, if you were in a storefront, you'd need a license. Why? Because you work from home, do you not need a license?
And what are we talking, $100 maybe or something like that, typically?
It's $105 for the city and $45 for the county.
Yeah, if you can't afford that, you don't need to be in business. Hey, Jeffrey, we're going to have to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Good job today.
Jim, it's been great, as always. Thank you very much.
It was good to see you earlier this week, too, by the way.
It was a lot of fun. We had a great time.
Yeah, we'll do that again. Thanks, Jeff. Give us your website one more time before we go.
www.chiefhomeofficer.com.
Important website, folks. Check it out when you get a chance. Thanks, Jeff. See you later.
Thank you. It's been
great. Gotta go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, home-based and otherwise, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.